here tonight. 2 Peter 2 and Jude 10. 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude 10. I know I'm supposed to stand up at this point and make a fiery speech about involvement and trying to change everything by your prayers and by your involvement in things, and I can't seem to find the heart to do that. But you can pray, and you can do right. And to me, that's the singular most important thing. Because, folks, God can overrule the government. God can overrule Congress, and God can overrule the president. God can kill the president if he wants to. So you can pray and do right yourselves, and pray the Lord keeps the door open for you to do right. Right? All right, 2 Peter chapter 2. And we were in this passage part of the morning this morning in church, in Sunday school, but kind of picking up in the middle of this passage about how bad things are going to be and how bad men are going to get eventually. Verse 10, talking about the judgment of God falling. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Verse 12, notice that these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. Look in Jude 10. Jude 10, we'll start back in verse 8. Jude 8. Likewise also, a very parallel passage to what we just read. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, two very negative passages here. I don't know if the sermon will be that negative or not, Lord, but I pray that you'd bless it. Some thought went into it. You'll be the one to decide whether that was profitable thought or not. Father, I pray that you might give us something to cling to here tonight. Lord, we are supposed to be pure-minded and try to labor to be pure in heart. Help us do so, Father. Help us keep the faith pure. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, both those passages, 2 Peter 2 and Jude 10, you'll find a phrase, two words really, as brute beasts. Brute beasts. Now, folks, the creation of God is a marvel. You all know that. And the brute creation, that is the creation of the animals that don't think intelligently and reason like we do, the brute creation, those things are lifted up throughout the Bible as a glory to God, right? And should be. You have in the Bible, you have the ant picked out specifically. You have in various places, I'll take you to Proverbs chapter 30 real quick. The Lord points out in some of these things, the brute creation, the glories of the brute creation, and how there are things that are desirable in them as far as attributes are concerned that we should desire ourselves. In Proverbs 30, down in verse 28, for instance, down in verse 25, rather. No, I'll notice in verse 24, there are four things which are little upon the earth, but they're exceeding wise. Well, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in king's palaces. Those ants, conies, spiders, and locusts are just, well, three of them are bugs. But I guess a coney's not a bug, but They're just bugs, and yet the Lord points us to them as having attributes that are desirable, right? He says, Isaiah 1, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doesn't. Now that said, as I said, I hope you understand when the Lord lifts up the brute creation as something glorious, that He's not lifting up the ingenuity and high intellect of the ant or the locust. I hope you understand that. The fact is, the brute creation, spiders and ants and wasps build their nests out of spit and paper in this marvelous architectural design, but it's not their intelligence. It's all programmed in by God into instinct, right? Here you have monarch butterflies who by the tens of millions all migrate from North America to Mexico. Some of them have to transverse the Gulf of Mexico. They all wind up in a 50-acre plot of land where the trees are just absolutely shrouded in monarch butterflies. Now look, the monarch butterflies didn't get there by their vast intellect. They have brains the size of a splotch of peanut butter. It's not a marvel of their brains. It is the programming of their creator, right? We've talked about salmon before and how those fish, in their marvelous design, manage, no matter how far away they are, manage to make their way back to the very breeding grounds where they are spawned. There are stories about some of the obstacles that they've overcome to get back to the very breeding ground they spawn. Now look, all salmon know that's going on in their little English pea-sized brain is eat, swim, breed. Eat, swim, breed. That's all they know. The fact that they make it back to their spawning grounds is a mark of the glory of God. He implanted, programmed into their little brains those instincts by which they make their way back. It wasn't the marvelous intellect of the salmon. The salmon can't count to three. But God programmed him to be able to make his way back to his spawning grounds, right? And I say all that to say that for my entire life, I've lived around livestock, horses, cows, cats, dogs, some goats, and other assorted animals, okay? I'm sorry, animals are not that smart. One of the reasons that shepherds go out among the sheep in 5-degree weather is because the sheep will allow their snot-laden muzzles to freeze to the ground, and they will die. Okay, that's not smart. Just because a cow turns its hind end to the north wind doesn't really mean it's smart. Okay? We have a dog, her name is Lexi. Lexi has learned, if it's just the screen door, obviously she can't open a knob, but she's learned to let herself out all by herself if the screen door is open. Now, oddly, our front door is a little hard to close. You have to really kind of push on it to make it close. She has learned that if she can get the screen door back open and shoulder in and the door is not completely locked too, she can shoulder her way in into the house as well as out. You say, oh, she's so smart. No, she's just spoiled and big. It's not any great intellect. She's just hungry or wants some water out of the toilet. So she makes her way back in. She's not that smart. My point is, look, you've never met a chimpanzee yet that hot-wired his cage with a heater. Sure, they can peel two bananas at the same time with their opposable thumbs and their opposable toes. Well, that's all grand and everything, but they're not electricians and they're not nuclear scientists. You understand what I'm saying? My point is, folks, fine. God does mention the attributes of animals at times as something desirable for us. That much is true. The bottom line is, though, that any time man devolves to being more like an animal, that is not a good thing. Right? When Nebuchadnezzar was judged by God and was forced to go out and crawl around his knees with the beasts of the field and to eat grass as an oxen. That was not a good thing. That was the judgment of God. He was, I don't know what you call it. He was decreased. He looked stupid. And for a while, let's face it, he was pretty stupid for a while. When the Bible in Isaiah talks about, or Jeremiah rather, talks about how lost men in the morning sometimes are like horses just fed who stand at the fence and neigh after their neighbor's wife. That's not a compliment. I've been on construction crews like that, right? And that's not a compliment. When you go to being more like an animal, it's not a good thing. And so with that in mind, look, folks, the Bible says a man is made a little lower than the angels, but well above the animals, right? That said, the more like an animal you become, the stupider you get, right? I mean, no, I can't chew paper mache and make a wasp nest like a wasp does. But then again, so what? The wasp can't add either, right? The wasp can't think. My point is, when you become more, these words in the Bible here, brutish, you become more like an animal. You become more ignorant and more blind and more stupider. More stupider. Let me rephrase that. More stupid. The title of this message tonight is Stupidification. Stupidification. John Wayne actually said something once I liked. He said, life is hard. Life is harder if you're stupid. Now, my point, folks, is that as men continue to degrade themselves back more and more to being like animals, they get stupider and stupider. And there's some of these things that will apply to Christians as well. Notice, first of all, if you would, go if you would to Psalm 92. Back in 2 Peter and Jude, we saw a phrase that is as brute beasts, as natural brute beasts. That is not complimentary. That is not good. Those guys got blinder and blinder, more ignorant and more ignorant, stupider and stupider as they went along, right? Because that's what happens when you become like an animal. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. All right, Psalm 92. And go down to verse 4. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. A brutish man does not know what? A brutish man does not know, verse 5, how great are the works of the Lord and how deep are his thoughts. Right? One of the sure ways to advance up down the chain of stupidification is by overlooking God's works and thoughts. Okay? We spoke earlier of the monarch butterflies and the salmon. I've seen PBS and National Geographic specials on monarch butterflies and salmon. And in all of those PBS and National Geographic shows, they all give credit to the great ingenuity and intellect of the monarch butterflies and the salmon. Or failing that, they give all the glory to something called evolution, which is an explosion of a cosmic egg that came from nowhere. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Plainly, the cosmic egg. I'm like Brother Gip. Anytime I ever blew up anything, Nothing of any order ever came out of it. But not so, say the evolutionary scientists. My point, folks, is that these men become more brutish. They become more animalistic. They become stupider in overlooking the works of God and how deep are His thoughts. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork, right? Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth forth knowledge. Well, the heavens declare the glory of God. A man goes outside, there are no clouds. He looks up in the sky and he sees a fireworks display of monumental orchestration and monumental order. And by the way, monumental power. I mean, each of those little twinkling stars is more than likely a sun, much larger than our sun, right? It is a magnificent display. Look, the heavens do not whisper, hey, that's the glory of God. They do not peep and mutter, that's the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork, right? Ladies and gentlemen, a man who overlooks God's works and thoughts is well down the line of stupidification. He's well down the line of being a brutish, natural man who does not even have the capacity to recognize the designer behind the design. They overlook God's works and thoughts. It makes you stupid. It makes you stupid. Says there in verse 5, thy thoughts, God's thoughts are very deep. Where would you find God's thoughts? You find God's thoughts in the Bible, right? He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, so are my ways higher than your ways, right? So on and so forth. You find those thoughts in the Word. The further you get away from reading and knowing God's thoughts, the stupider you get. You may have an IQ of 168, but you're stupider with every progressing day because you can't see it. You're more and more a brute man. And a backsliding Christian can get there. There was a day, I was in my early 20s, I'd been to college. I had had 4 years of college under my belt. I was a smart cookie. And though I'd been saved at 10 years old, I had convinced myself that it was just possible that we evolved. At 22 years old, after being in the world for 12 years, I was a brutish man. Okay? You become stupider and stupider overlooking God's works and thoughts. Notice something else. Look in Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. It said, these are like natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. They've utterly corrupted themselves, it says. They've become more and more like animals. They become stupider and stupider. Jeremiah chapter 10, and go down to verse 14. Notice, every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder, that is an idol maker, is confounded by the graven image. Well, it says every man is brutish in his knowledge. That points out something kind of interesting. One way to get stupider and stupider is getting the wrong kind of knowledge. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Most of you guys know, I mean, we've preached about this a lot. You know there are two kinds of wisdom. One wisdom is pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, comes down from heaven. Another kind is earthly, sensual, devilish, and originates here. It teaches you how to make meth. It teaches you how to break into a car. Teaches you how to defraud men of their money. Right? Okay, that is earthly, sensual, devilish. It's wise, but it's wicked. It's more brutish, right? There's two kinds of wisdom. There's two kinds of knowledge. Look, there's come a day. We are now living in a day where men, And many times Christians no longer even recognize that one of those kinds of knowledge is a very dangerous, degrading thing. It is just true. They think that Buddha knowledge and Allah knowledge and a knowledge of the world religions and a little acupuncture and a little witchcraft on the side is a profitable thing because it's just enlightening and it broadens your horizons because you know more than the average guy. And the fact is, it's not true. It corrupts. There is a knowledge that makes you stupider and stupider. There's a knowledge that turns you more into an animal than you might have ever thought. Here is Eve. She's a perfect woman, by the way, living with a perfect man in a perfect environment. And the devil comes along and says, listen, if you'll take of the fruit of this tree, you will be as gods, knowing. You're going to get knowledge. You're going to know both good and evil. In the process of chasing down that knowledge, that woman made the singular stupidest decision any man, woman, or child has ever made on the face of this earth. She killed us all in pursuing that knowledge. Okay? Fact is, there is a knowledge that makes you stupider and stupider and stupider. I suppose it sounds strange one is made stupider by knowledge, but that is a fact. Listen, folks, take the Roman Catholic Church. Take and read all that they teach, that God is, that salvation is, that all the things that they think are right and pure and good. And tell me, when you get that knowledge in your head, does it obscure the truth or does it advance the truth? Are you better off for knowing what they would teach you? Are you actually more like an animal? Are you more brutish? Are you more natural? And are you more stupid? Right? We talked this morning. Paul said, I fear lest by any means, as Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We talked this morning about beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ, right? Well, folks, philosophy is something you go to college for. You go get your master's in philosophy. You go get your doctorate in philosophy. And having learned those things, where are you? Stupider than when you started. Folks, it's just true. The knowledge of sin makes you more brutish. The knowledge of sin does. The Bible says that we're not to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The knowledge of sin hardens. The knowledge of sin deceives. The knowledge of sin puts you in bonds that you've never been in before. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Okay, well, that just proves that you're stupid. No, I'm just kidding. Tell you what, look at it this way. You now have a generation of people that have been, and now the momentum is high. You have a generation of people that have been taught by their public school teachers and by their high school and college professors that gay is perfectly natural. Not a one of those idiots was ever raised on a farm. Because I can tell you this right now. Dogs and cats do not do what they do. It's absolutely true. And to say, well, it's just, you know, there's just nothing wrong with two men loving one another just like they would love another woman. Don't be an idiot. Listen, if you're thinking that way, you're not thinking right. I'm not going to get specific here, but electricians and plumbers understand fittings. And ladies and gentlemen, not to be gross or pornographic by any stretch of the imagination, only to say it doesn't work. That's why you never see two bull calves trying to propagate the species. Because it doesn't work, don't be an idiot pretending that it might. Because it doesn't. Because it can't. Again, evolution. How did it all start? With an explosion. Really? You really expect me to believe that a wasp that makes this intricate nest, this spider that makes this intricate web, came from a blow-up? You say, well, the blow-up was 100 billion years ago. I don't care how far back the blow-up was. Things are not made in explosions. Ladies and gentlemen, the wrong kind of knowledge makes you stupid. Right? If we believe 2 Corinthians 11, it corrupts your mind. In Colossians 2, it spoils your mind. It spoils the way your mind works so that then things don't click in your mind like in a normal God-fearing, Bible-believing soul who needs one day to understand some spiritual things. Stupidification. You get stupider when you overlook God's works and thoughts. You get stupider when you get the wrong kind of knowledge. There's something else here in verse 10:14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. He's made brutish in his knowledge, and he's confounded in his graven image. I'll tell you something else that'll make you stupid. Idols. Idols will make you stupid. Here's this guy in Isaiah 44. You can go read it yourself. Guy cuts down a tree. Oh, it's a nice tree. He takes some of the tree and cuts it up and uses it for a fire to dry his shirt. And some more of the tree he cuts up and builds a fire and cooks his meal with. And the remainder, the Bible says, he makes into a stock and he makes into a god. And he carves it out and covers it with silver and gold. And he looks at it, and then after he's made it, he's burnt part of it for a fire to warm himself. He's burnt part of it to cook his meal. Then he says to the remainder of it that he's made all pretty and carved out and overlaid with gold and all, he says, deliver me, for thou art my God. Duh. Here's the children of Israel in the wilderness. They're parked at the base of Mount Sinai, and the mountain has been thundering and rolling and roiling for days, right? Lightning is flashing, thunder is rolling. Moses is gone up the mount. They're supposed to wait for him to come back. They talk Aaron, into making them a golden calf. The golden calf is made. Moses comes down, and in making their idols, he comes down then and finds them naked and living and dancing around like savages. Idols make you stupider. Idols make you more like an animal. Idols make you more brutish, it says here in Jeremiah 10. It makes you stupider. Speaking of idols, they're the idols of sport. I don't know what you call a guy. Is he smart? He gets out in 5 below 0 weather, takes his shirt off at a football stadium, paints his beer belly green and gold. Is that smart? Is that smart? No, folks. Idolatry makes you stupid. It makes you do stupid things. I hope you, when I say this, you won't think that I'm a fan or anything, but a few years ago, a lady named Pamela Anderson was supposed to be the epitome of beauty and all that stuff. Well, that's what I said. You, too. But I saw a picture of her before they installed air valves in her lips so they could blow them up like inner tubes. And she was actually a very, very naturally pretty person. Like I said, they installed all these air valves and then they blow up stuff that they want blown up. And now she just looks old and stupid. You know why? Because she chased youth and beauty. It'll do the same to you. it makes you dumb, right? Have you ever met somebody that could never talk of anything but themselves? Self was their idol. They're self-serving, self-pitying, self-gratifying. Everything has to revolve around me. You know what happens when that happens? Eventually, you look like an idiot. Because I'm telling you, folks, idols make you stupider. They really do. There's another form of idolatry. Colossians 3:5 says that covetousness is idolatry. I have seen grown men and grown women in chasing something they just had to have repeatedly make the stupidest possible decisions they could make. Right? Folks, idolatry makes you dumb. It makes you do dumb stuff. It makes you do stupid stuff. You really become less human and really more like an animal, just self-gratifying. You know what? Deer, lions, tigers, bears, cats, they all live to eat and propagate the species. It's all self-gratification. They're not thinking about somebody else. They only think about themselves. When you only think about yourself, first of all, that's idolatry. Second of all, you get stupider and stupider. There's something else I'd like you to see. Look in Psalm 73. And this is slightly akin to idolatry and covetousness because it revolves around envy. And envy can be covetousness. Look in Psalm 73. Go down to verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For, why? For I was envious at the foolish. Now, down in verse 22, he's gotten his heart right. Verse 21, thus my heart was grieved. I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, he says, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Why did he say, I was as a beast before thee? He said, because I was envious at the foolish. You live in a country, well, a world, that makes heroes out of the foolish. They make heroes out of idiots. I think Brother Mark would tell you that even in China, a culture so far different from ours, that there's a preoccupation with the Americanized idol making of stars and athletes and singers and such nonsense as that. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, I was as a beast before you. Why? Because I was envious at the foolish. Envy, covetousness will do that to you. It makes you more like an animal. Here is Cain and Abel. Cain, probably a good guy on the average day, but he's rebuked. He's reproved. He's not accepted. He's mad. He is so envious. He is green around the gills because God accepted Abel's offering. And so he kills Abel. He murders Abel. He takes rocks and kills Abel. What is that? That's what animals do. Right? You're not made more civilized by acting in these fashions. It seems that the more the mob gets in control, the more it seems like they're constantly trying to stir our beastly passions. That's what all the emphasis on sex is about. They're trying to stir the beastly passions. They're trying to make you less human. They're trying to make you more brutish. Guess who's behind all that? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Okay? You're made stupider by overlooking God's works and His thoughts. You're made stupider by getting the wrong kind of knowledge, by your idol making, by being envious at the foolish. There's this too. Look in Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. That'd be the right kind of knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. And we'll see it in a second again, but Jude 10 says that these men in these latter days, 2 Peter as well, these men are as natural brute beasts. They don't even think like men. They just act like natural brute beasts. All right? In this passage here, he that hateth reproof is brutish. One of the marks of a man that's going down the beastly path, the brutish path, is he makes dumber and dumber, stupider and stupider decisions. He has less and less light. He's spiritually more and more blind as his life continues. Right? One earmark is that he hates reproof. Go with me to just a couple places here real quick. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Most of us do not enjoy getting pounded on as far as reproof is concerned. I understand that. But there are some of us that understand something else as well. Look in verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. That's the Bible. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You can't get through life as a natural man just making your own decisions and never be reproved. God reproves. Okay? Notice something else here. Look in chapter 15, 15:10. Proverbs 15:10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. He that hateth reproof shall die. Okay? You have a 2-year-old kid. If you don't reprove that kid in some things, that kid's going to get himself killed. Right? If you can't tell him and convince him that he has to stay out of the road, he's going to get killed. If you can't make him not climb somewhere that can get him killed, it's going to get him killed. Okay? He that hateth reproof shall die. Now, notice just one or two other places here. Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. Closing down pretty quick here. Proverbs 1, verse 23. And this is wisdom talking to her son. This is Solomon talking to his son. Verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Do you really want knowledge? Do you really want to know? Do you really want to understand? Do you really want to be wise? Well, you're going to have to be reproved. It says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Verse 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Part of what you don't like from me, he says, is that I would tell you that you were wrong and how you were wrong, and you were not interested in hearing it. Look down in verse 30. They would none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell quietly and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. When you hate reproof, you become more brutish and you become stupider. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. The reason you read your Bible, number one, is to get doctrine. But in getting that doctrine, number two, is to make sure you get reproved. That is one of the ministries of a local church. That's what a pastor's supposed to do. That's what a teacher's supposed to do. That's what mom and dad are supposed to do. They're reprovers. look, you're wrong. Here the Bible says you're wrong. You've got to straighten that out or it's going to destroy you. You're going to become like an animal. You're going to get stupider and stupider. That's the earmark of an animal. Don't care what you say. Animals don't count. Instinctively, wasps can build nests, spiders can build webs. That's true. Instinctively, monarch butterflies can fly 6 jillion miles and wind up on the same 50-acre plot as the rest of the monarch butterflies. That's a marvelous tribute to the God, to God their maker. It's not a tribute to their brain pan. It's not a tribute to their intellect. They didn't do it by their intellect. You now, however, there are things that you can accomplish by your intellect if you just won't be brutish. One last thing. Look in Jude 10. Jude 10. Jude 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. We've already read this. Notice, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. What they know naturally. If you are natural minded, you're more like a beast than like God. It says, being natural minded makes you stupid, because it says there, in those things, in thinking that way, they corrupt themselves. Everything that's natural is not good. Sure, there are things that are natural that are fine, but there are things that are natural that are not good. Some of your natural instincts, some of your natural passions were not intended to be acted upon. And the more you think naturally, following the impetus of your own heart over and over again in your decisions, the further and further you're going to grow away from God. And frankly, the stupider and stupider are the decisions that you'll wind up making. If you want to see the key to this, look in Romans chapter 8. It's the last place I'll have you turn tonight. Romans 8. Stupidification. Now, I don't know that all animals are completely stupid, but they're stupider than me. I can always outdo an animal in math. I can beat an animal any day in an essay. Because God gave me a brain to think with, right? He gave me a brain to make independent decisions with, to discern God's will with. He did not give the salmon that capacity. The salmon doesn't say, I think I'll just take this year off and be single. Doesn't happen. The monarchs don't say, I'm just going to stay in Minnesota this winter. Doesn't happen. Okay? But that can happen with a man, because God gave man something he didn't give animals. As I see it, what the devil's trying to do, what the world is trying to do, is to drive us to be more and more like animals as we go along. A lot of it happens right up here. A lot of it has to do with how we think and what we yield to. And here's this. Romans chapter 8. Notice verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded... Now, maybe that's not quite the same as being natural minded, but I'll tell you this. A dog is not spiritual minded. When it comes, when the female dog is in heat, I will guarantee you the male dog has no spiritual interests. It's all natural, carnal interest. Right? Verse 9, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That is a capacity that animals do not have. Praying mantises do not pray. They only eat their husbands. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded separates you from the animals. For you to act against your flesh, and even against at times your passions and affections and the leading of your own heart, that's the mark of spiritual mindedness. And in that spiritual mindedness is life and peace. Don't be like an animal. Don't go down the line of stupidification. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, you did create us a little lower than the angels and a great deal higher than the animals. No matter what the evolutionists say, Father, we are not animals. We've been given a capacity to know God and love God. I pray, Father, you'd help us here. Everyone standing or sitting right now has made profoundly stupid decisions in their lives at one time or another. We did not make those decisions because we were spiritual minded. We did not make those decisions because we had followed all the right rules and not fallen after some of the things we've talked about tonight. Help us, Lord, we pray, you might convict us of our sins, show us how we got where we are, and help us, Lord, to do right. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. As I said, I am ever more convinced that what the devil's really after is for you to deny your spiritual inclinations and spiritual development and to follow after your natural, baser, more animalistic instincts. I think the devil would love very much for us all to run around like animals, be perfectly happy then. The Lord Jesus Christ did not save you to live, act, or make decisions like an animal. Don't be as the brute beasts. Don't be as the brute creation. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. We're going to be dismissed. Appreciate y'all's faithfulness today, being here. Pray for folks that are sick. Pray that you don't get sick. And look forward to seeing you back on Wednesday. Father, we love you, Lord. We've been given a precious treasure here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our bodies. We have an eternal book here in our laps and in our hands tonight. Father, help us to yield to those things. That book is the mind of Christ. And we have the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of Christ inside us. Help us, Lord, to do what we should with those things. We are called to deny ourselves and to put the old man under and to put on the new man. Pray to help us do that. Grateful for these folks being here today. Thank you for some victories. And we trust, Lord, you'll do yet more. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody.